Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your sinner for radio voices. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined, as always, by two gentlemen who've just had restraining orders put on them by Peter King, Mr. Rudy Gamble, and Gray Albright. Gentlemen, good day to you.
Good day.
Yo.
What's up?
Not too much. Hey, all joking aside, did Peter King tell you guys to lose his phone number too, or was that just me?
No, he actually asked for more trade advice after he got off the phone. I told him to pick up Daniel Hudson.
Hey, I just
No, I didn't. That's untrue. If anyone from the Montclair State College Fantasy League's listening, he didn't ask for more advice.
Hey, I just heard though. I mean, it just came across the wire.
Prespaluski.
Daniel Hudson has a forearm strain.
Whatever. He's got a can't pitch strain.
I don't think it's a strain. He's got it all. He's got a pulled crap.
he needs to go to a proctologist for that.
I was just gonna say, how does that come up on the injury list?
I'm pulling crap.
It's oblique. You just write oblique for that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah. God, this guy's pitching like crap. Strange oblique.
Clay Buchholz was pitching like crap. No, never mind.
He's got an esophagus.
Yeque.
He's got a snuffleupagus right. or something.
At least the thing I like about Colby Lewis, he has the decency to say, okay, I'm not going to start. I'm injured. I'm going to go on the DL for 2 weeks. Where Daniel Hudson said, well, I'm not sure. Let me give up 5 earned runs in 1 2/3. Yeah, I'm injured.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be a hero, Daniel Hudson.
Yeah, but no one's starting Daniel Hudson unless you're in like a 30-team NL-only league.
I think a lot of people did start him. I think you might be mistaken there, but yeah, no longer. Okay. Not after tonight.
Well, no. Listen, speaking of injured players, I'd like to know, gentlemen, of these three injured sluggers, which one would you be willing to gamble on for the rest of the season? So I'm going to throw out Tulo, Evan Longoria, and Matt Kemp. Gray, order those guys for me. And now, positions aside, who you like best rest of the season?
I'm going Kemp, Longo, Tulo for... the rest of the season. I think Kemp, he sounds like, I don't know, from the latest report, not that you can believe any of these reports, but from the latest report, it sounded like he was already running and the Dodgers are just being super cautious because they're in the race for the playoffs, as crazy as that sounds, and they want him healthy. So I think Kemp probably, he could probably get out there before the All-Star break, but he won't until right after the All-Star break. Longo's timetable sounds a little more vague, but sometime after the All-Star break, that could mean August, I don't know, maybe end of July. And Tulo, he had stuff done to his groin. I'm not messing with him.
Yeah. No, Tulo's definitely lasted those three. Because he didn't even show that much this year. Kemp, the tough thing with Kemp is that part of the reason he's so great was his stolen bases, and it's pretty... I wouldn't bet on him running too much when he gets back, but I'd still take Kemp over Longoria at this point, mainly just because right now, at least Kemp seems to be all words positive right now, where Longoria had to seesaw baseball activities.
Okay, let me ask you. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, just one name answer. Of those three guys, who would you rather have in the keeper league long term? Greg?
Kemp.
Rudy?
Kemp.
Hey, one word answer. You guys are getting so good at this. Really?
Well, you have to ask.
Tell us when we can talk again.
Yeah, make it complicated. Give us something difficult. Like, give me a 27 word answer for this.
All right, here's a complicated one. No, really, this is. I got a feeling we might come to fisticuffs here. Trevor Bauer gets his first start Thursday. Now, the question here is, does Rudy win the call-up wager? Because, Rudy, you called June 26th, but technically Thursday is the 28th.
He wins it. He wins both showcases with that.
I know.
Did I call the same date for him and Holtzen?
I don't remember what you called for Holtzen, but I know you called the 26th for Bauer.
Oh.
I think you did say Holtzen too, but whatever. You get Holtzen as well because you won the Bauer showcase.
Yeah, you're right.
There we go. Okay. I had to guess. You have to guess within like an hour of the call-up in order to win both showcases.
All right, Rudy, what do you think for Mr. Bauer rest of season?
Do you know how many minor league innings he's thrown already?
I will find out as you tell us what you think.
Yeah. I can't imagine they'd let him throw more than 150 total. So I could see it being maybe like 60 innings he gets over, let's say, 7 or 8 starts.
He'll get shut down mid-September.
93 innings so far.
Yeah, so I think, that sounds about right. So I'd say 60 innings. I could see him getting a K an inning.
Rarely do rookie pitchers go past like mid-September anyway. So yeah, just to be safe. I would say that.
But probably a K an inning, he'll likely have some control issues because it seems like, you know, all rookie pitchers have that. So I could see maybe sending the 3.5 ERA, 1.125 whip. I think, the best case is what Daniel Hudson did when he got called up about 2 years ago. Or is it, about two and a half years ago.
Watch out for Bauer in 2014.
And then 2015, watch it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too, with guys that throw this hard but haven't pinpointed control yet. You see it, like, with Moore last year. I mean, other than Strasburg, I can't even think of a hard thrower that came up and had a good amount of success right off the bat, at least in terms of whip, so.
Yeah.
All right. One word answer.
All right, well, great. Let me ask you this. Johnny Cueto is quietly having a real nice season. You could even argue a Cy Young caliber season. 9 wins, 2.12 ERA, 76 Ks, 1.11 whip. Is he for real this year?
That sounds like something that Keith Law would argue. I think he definitely gets another, I don't know, 8 to 9 wins. He's definitely going to be in the Cy Young combo. I think he's doing better ERA and ERA wise than he probably should be. He's probably closer to a 3 ERA guy, but he was like that last year too, and he still put up I believe around a 2.5 ERA, and his K rate isn't that pretty. It's I think over a little over 6. So you're looking at a guy who is probably, for fantasy purposes, probably a very high number 2, very low number 1. I don't think he's in the top 10-15 starter conversation. But yeah, he's doing really well. I don't think the bomb's going to totally fall out because his whip, his walks are really in check. His whip looks good. So
and it seems like it's been a year where the perennial Cy Young candidates in the NL have done that well. Kershaw has been a little bit underwhelming. Halliday's been hurt. Cliff Lee still hasn't won.
Pitching a shutout.
Hamels has been really good.
Yeah.
Figure like between Hamels and Kane and R.A. Dickey. So I think Dickey and Kane are right now the number 1 and number 2.
Okay, so Rudy, who would you rather have rest of the season, Cueto or Dickey?
What was that?
That's the second time he's kissing his teeth at us today.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Are you burping the kid?
Yeah. I'd go with Dickey. Although the only reason I was questioning is that supposedly September, October, it's tougher to throw the knuckleball.
Rudy does the dating game kiss at the end of the show before he answers.
Richard Dawson, and I'm kissing each question like I'm Richard Dawson
with a toothpick in your mouth.
I'd still take Dickey for the rest of the year over.
Yeah, you would. I would too, just because of his K rate.
Okay, Gray, what about would you take Cueto or Strasburg rest of the season with Strass's injury or innings limit?
Strasburg's real nice. I put Strasburg above Cueto by a hair. The innings limit is obviously going to be an issue. I saw yesterday, I think they pulled him after like 97 pitches. It's like, kid gloves. I'd take Strasburg right above Cueto, below Dickey probably, but it's close.
All right, good. At least we got him close today. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, another question. When did Adrian Gonzalez become Lyle Overbay without the defense?
Ooh, zing. You're looking at you defending Lyle
Overbay. You're not excited, but...
Someone's a Blue Jays fan.
You're clearly not in leagues that count doubles the same as homers.
No, I'm in a league that counts doubles the same as homers.
Are you? You're an extra base hit league?
No, I'm in one that we have doubles as an extra category.
Oh. Because he's on pace for 50 doubles.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind if he had zero doubles and just give me half those as homers. But
we should pause and call Peter King. just call him up unannounced. Hey! Oh, you didn't read the disclaimer? This is every week.
It's like inviting a vampire into your house. But the Gonzalez thing, who knows? I feel like there's no way to know if he's going to start hitting homers again. The only thing that scares me with first baseman and their power is if their back goes. That's the Mattingly-Helton corollary.
Yeah, no, listen, that's a good example.
Yeah. Don't forget Mattingly, man. Grew up. That was my favorite player growing up.
We grew up Mattingly. Come on,
buddy. I grew up in Montreal with the Expos. Okay, I've tried to just.
All right, Dawson.
Yeah, Helton's got to do that whole goatee. Mattingly was able to carry the mustache. Helton couldn't do that. He has to do that whole bushy goatee thing.
Hey, listen, at least you had interesting guys. I had to root for Bob Zebra. All right. Who'd you rather have?
Who is that?
Oh, Bob! You don't remember
that's
Bob Zebra?
Did you go to high school with that guy?
What was that?
Did you make up a name?
I'll never forget this. There was one season where Bob Zebra, it may have been 88, led the Expos in ERA and was like 4.58, and he led the team in
ERA. I'll be honest with you. I will forget that.
That was before they picked up Dennis Martinez.
Yeah, El Presidente. Okay, well, who'd you rather have rest of the season, Greg Gonzalez, or what about Goldschmidt?
Gonzalez. I'm taking Gonzalez over Goldschmidt.
Teixeira?
And any of the... I'd take Teixeira over Gonzalez. I didn't say that. Teixeira over Gonzalez, Gonzalez over Goldschmidt, Gonzalez over, like, Kendrys Morales.
I'd like Gonzalez over Rice.
Delicious. With a side of plantains?
Oh, a little hot sauce.
Watch out. Tapatio. I like Gonzalez. I think Gonzalez could have a month still of, like, I don't know, 12 homer month where he shows, you know, why you draft him in the first round. I would go with Gonzalez at this point. You can't. I feel like you're so pot committed. You're in it.
Kind of like Hosmer, Gray?
I'm Hosmer and I, we're pen pals at this point. I'm not getting rid of him.
What about
you? I did get rid of Ryan Zimmerman, though. Goodbye. Goodbye, Ryan Zimmerman.
Don't even get me started on Zimmerman. What about you, Rudy? Anyone off that list? Goldschmidt, Teixeira, Morales, you'd rather have over Gonzalez rest of the season?
Yeah, I'd take Teixeira because April's over.
All right, well, at least you guys are at least you guys are consistent.
And the good thing is that you watch Gonzalez. He actually tries to be like a hitter who hits to all fields and everything. Teixeira's just trying to pull home runs, and that's what I want out of my first baseman.
There you go.
Except if you're Joey Votto, where you could just do everything.
Yeah. Oh, Joey Votto.
I should have had Joey Votto.
He doesn't even foul. He doesn't even pull balls foul.
You know, not only is he Canadian, he's from Toronto.
You heard that stat, right?
No. Oh. Which stat is that?
He's never pulled a ball foul. Ever. Really?
I read that. I didn't believe. I can't believe that. I read that too.
Yeah, it seems crazy.
Did he make a bedside wish for somebody? Never a foul ball?
It's kind of like stepping on your mother's back in Canada. I don't know.
Actually, you know what? There was a big article. It made a lot of news. They were talking about how the reason Joey Votto got into baseball was he couldn't afford to play hockey in Toronto. A true story. And which is, of course, going to start like an inquisition here in Canada.
Yeah, I tell you, hockey players don't seem like rich kids. they don't to me.
No, you know what it is? It's the ice time that costs. But anyway, let's not turn this into a hockey question, because it is time for the dun-da-da-da email section. I don't know how we keep...
No!
Not the email section.
I don't know how we keep getting emails, because I don't think we've ever promoted the email address. Okay, so here we go. First one is from, what do we have here at the top of the pile? Pedro from Pittsburgh.
Oh, your God, damn it. You would think you were a Steel City transplant who lived in Canada. It's freaking, seriously, remember when Jerry Seinfeld buried his old material? Bury this. Fucking Pedro in Pittsburgh, right?
Pedro
in
from segment. Pittsburgh, it's gold.
All right, you know what then? Gold. Let me throw this out.
Cover your mirrors. I got a Danish for the shiva.
You're doing a 10-minute bit on Pedro, and you're doing an 8-minute bit on Alyssa from LA.
Listen,
the cup is oval.
All right, maybe what we should do. All right, here's an idea.
It's called round team. Why is it round team?
All right, you know what? Maybe we'll start taking some emails from our wonderful Razzball commentators.
Oh, man. Right. Maybe Pedro is a commentator. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead. Pedro writes, Dear Losebags, Pedro Alvarez seems to be turning a corner. Have a look into your crystal ball and project what type of line might we see from Pedro Alvarez 5 years from now. Gray?
24 homers and a .240 average.
In the Mexican League.
In 5 years? You should be able to hit a few more homers. That's like an average of 5 per year.
No, that's what I think Pedro's asking is give us an average.
Oh, it's not an aggregate.
Correct.
In 17 after 20.
Yeah. I think there's probably a 50-50 chance Pedro is still in the league at that point.
Yeah.
Even
Justin Smoke.
Yeah. It's
Pedro, learn how to order in Japanese.
Right. I'd put the over under on at 10. If he's in the league, you know, like, because you have to factor in there's a pretty good chance he gets 0.
Okay.
So there you go. The line, if you go to razzball.com/bets,
yep.
You'll find it there. Now you might, try it, plug it in your browser. Let me see what you get.
Okay, fair enough. Last email of the day was a quick segment because you guys took up a lot of time picking on poor Pedro. Actually, Pedro works in the advertising agency, in an advertising agency in Pittsburgh, just so you know. Okay, he's got a real job. He's a regular guy.
Last segment. We've only done this for like 15 minutes. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying of the emails today.
Okay. Sorry.
Alyssa from Los Angeles.
I thought we were in metric for a second.
Alyssa writes, I really like prospects. So young, so full of life. Can you please update me on, and she has a list here, so I'll throw the first one out to Rudy. Danny Hultson.
Oh, why isn't he up yet? Yeah, he got called up to AAA. He got bombed in his first game. I think he's up in the, you know, I thought he'd be up by now. And maybe if that start was great, it would be. I'm thinking sometime early July, probably coming in for Noisy, who's been the worst pitcher out of the group. Erasmo had.
I thought you said Little Wayne's name for a second. Noisy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think as long as Holton isn't hurt, he's pitching for the Mariners in July, and he'll be, you know, solid. I don't think he'll be a touch below Bauer probably in performance.
And just remember too, for these pitchers, sometimes how long it takes them to put it together. Because yeah. Johnny Cueto 5 years ago was Trevor Bauer. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Cueto was a. You know who was just as good as Cueto in the minor leagues? Manny Parra. Manny Parra
was like a perennial pick of mine in my NL only league for like 4 years. I was like, oh yeah, he's got good K's. He can figure it out.
All right, yeah. Next name on Alyssa's list is Mike Ault, who I believe is in the Rangers system. Correct?
Yeah. No, we had done a speculative pickup of him 2 weeks ago, and then he went out and hurt his hamstring. He's a third baseman with the AA team out in for the Rangers. I was hoping he was going to come up for Moreland. It didn't look like they wanted to do it. So right now, I wouldn't worry about stashing him this year. I think there's a chance he comes up in like maybe August or September, but unless there's more injuries, it's hard to see secure playing time. So
yeah, the Rangers are playing for this year. He's bench depth, if anything.
Yeah. I mean, he's got great power. I mean, maybe in a long-term keeper league, I'm looking at him because I think he might basically get the first base slot and basically move over to third base, you know, maybe after Beltre leaves. You never know when you have, you know, you look at what Middlebrooks, how quickly he wormed his way into the Red Sox lineup, that you never know. But I don't think for this year he's got a lot. But yeah, so.
Okay. And last name on Alyssa's list is Brad Peacock.
Oh.
Alyssa likes that.
Oh, yeah. Peacock's killed us this year. We drafted him a couple leagues.
What are you in a in a Gamecock fighting league?
Yeah. We just haven't had
in a modesty league.
I look at Holton and at least Holton could look at it and say like the Mariners really haven't their starting staff has stayed in relatively intact. I think they've maybe gone through six starters. It should tell you Peacock's status at the A's to think like they've started like 10 guys. They keep bringing up guys like AJ Griffin and Graham Godfrey instead of Peacock. There's a reason. It's like Peacock's not getting out of AAA this year. He's done pretty bad. You know, he's still a talent, but yeah, quite the disappointment. No need to ask about him. Drop him in everything except AL only leagues.
Okay, let me throw this out at you, Rudy. Is there a prospect who might come up and be helpful to your fantasy team this year? Because we've seen the wave. We've seen Harper. We've seen Trout. Who's next to come up?
I mean, yeah. Because when you think, I mean, right now Holton's the only guy that I think. We like Brett Jackson. I like Brett Jackson in Chicago.
Because Kansas City said that they're not going to bring up Will Myers, even though he's just destroying the minors this year.
I think sometime in July they were talking about possibly bringing him up.
Yeah, I think the tough thing with Myers is just where you put him. I mean, you basically have to bench. Oh, yeah, they've been trying him in center field. So I think Myers has a shot, but I think that's – I just don't like to stash unless I'm in deeper leagues. Like if you're in a 12-team league with like three bench slots –
yeah, you're getting better from Cody Ross right now than you.
Right, I'd say I wouldn't be stashing any prospects right now.
See, and sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like the thing I'm looking for in prospects is, you know, something that makes you think they can't miss. Like with Trout, it was if that guy gets into the starting lineup, he's going to steal a ton of bases.
Right.
you don't know if he'll do anything else, but you know he'll have value. Right now, I mean, I think Brett Jackson's intriguing, but not enough that I would be stashing him. We have him like in an NL-only league. I felt like just about all the exciting ones have been called up. Rizzo was so... I mean, I'm sure there are teams that basically held on to Rizzo for a month. And yeah, I think he's worth a speculative pickup now that he's being called up, but I think there's probably a decent chance he's going to hit like, he's going to pull a Justin Smoke.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he's overrated, but what do I know? I picked Matt Adams to contend for the Rookie of the Year. So
Fat Adams.
All right, Gray, listen, I got a question for you. I have been in on come to daddy. I have been in on Justin Upton for years, and he has done, other than one season a couple years ago where he was pretty darn good, he has just always let me down to the lofty expectations. So what's the story with J-Up?
He was good last year.
Yeah, okay, so it was last year then I think he had the good. He's had one.
Yeah, he's still really young. I don't know. I mean, he's another guy that I feel like he could go on a great month and a half streak where he is right there again in the second round of drafts next year. I wouldn't give up on Justin Upton yet. I think he's still got speed. He didn't really have, he had a wrist, I believe, that was bothering him. So maybe that was throwing him off a little bit for the month of May. I mean, he's got a great, he's a great prospect. He did great last year. He had two bad months. I'd give him some slack, Nick. Come on.
Oh.
All right.
You just speak up there. Something happened?
yeah. Cut some slack.
All right. 7 homers, 8 stolen bases, hitting .271. I had loftier expectations. I'm not saying
he... It's
a disappointment.
Definitely it's disappointing. But, I mean, if he hits... 15 homers and steals 10 bases the rest of the way, 25-17. I mean, it's not terrible, right?
Nah.
Not terrible? Is it terrible?
It's those Uptons,
I think that's second round again next year.
Those Uptons are just disappointing.
Yeah. He had a bad month and a half. Come on, guys.
All right. Well, okay, here's a guy who's had a great couple months.
Oh, yeah? Let me guess. Not Ryan Zimmerman.
Well, aside from not Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Hamill is having... he's putting up Cy Young numbers too, at least to be in the conversation. But, I mean, we got to expect the wheels to fall off, right?
I think he's right there with Cueto. I don't know. His K rate's nicer than Cueto's. I prefer the NL Central over the AL East, but I think Hamill looks pretty good. I mean, he's got a two and a half ERA, 1.1 WHIP, something like 1.12. Good Ks, like an 8, around a 7+8 K rate, right? It's good.
Yeah, pitching in the AL East. I mean, I'm not betting on a good.
I mean, I'm not. I wouldn't be in love with the start in Yankee Stadium or going against the Blue Jays, but can he do interleague again?
I think after those years with the Rockies, I think his lungs are like super strong now. he's been great. I mean, him and Chen on Baltimore have been basically what everyone hoped Brian Matthews and Jake Arrieta would be.
Yeah.
But I think Jason Hamill is that type that if you owned him, you certainly wouldn't cut him. You'd ride it out. And I'd be scared. I'd be scared as hell to trade for him.
Yeah,
like, Gray, who would you give for Jason Hamill?
I wouldn't give anyone. I just picked him up off a waiver. I picked him up off of waivers. I would have gave Ryan Zimmerman for him. And Crispy Young, I would have gave him. Another guy. Total shit show.
Okay, well let's
talk about the worst. I mean, the worst part of that whole Crispy Young situation was he was so good that first month before he got injured. Oh, that was really frustrating. That was probably the most frustrating situation of the year for me.
No, because you called and you complained about Hosmer. You called, you complained about...
Yeah, complain a lot. I mean, Crispy, at least, he looked like he was putting it together, and then he had this freak injury that looks like it ruined his season.
Okay, let's talk about something positive that's been happening in Arizona. Aaron Hill is quietly putting together a career-reviving year in the desert, hitting 291, 10 homers, 6 steals, only 60% owned. Rudy, is this a mirage, or are you maybe buying Aaron Hill?
Yeah, the 60% owned is a mirage. There's no way he's 60% owned.
Yeah, we don't believe any of the percent owned stuff. I'm buying. I mean, he just seemed to have balls in play bad luck with the Blue Jays over his last year or two.
Yeah, because he was trying to hit everything out of the park. That's why.
I know, but I think maybe he's taken a little bit off his swing in Arizona. But the one thing he did last year, he was awful with Toronto. And then had a bit of a resurgence with Arizona, but the one thing he added was the stolen bases.
Right.
And he's stuck with that, so he's maybe he's got 15 stolen base potential now. I don't think he's a 291 hitter. I think you're looking more at 260, 270, but with that power and speed, I think he's worthy of a starting second baseman in any league.
Yeah, fair enough. Funny too that trades worked out for both sides. Kelly Johnson's having a nice year in Toronto, also.
He didn't. Kelly Johnson's had to have. I haven't been looking at him closely, but he's such a streaky hitter. So I know he had a great streak in the beginning. Did he go super cold over the last month?
You know what? He's actually been. I'd have to look at the numbers, but he's actually been pretty consistent over the year. I don't have his stats in front of me right now. But it hasn't been. he's been getting on base a lot. He's been scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah, he's down to he's in 246.
Yeah, but I mean that's standard for him. But nine homers, seven steals.
He's got the super Ks.
Yeah.
So he's the one of the two that you can't expect for average, but he's shown a little bit more dependability perhaps on the power. But everyone looks cold right now compared to
Kelly
Rasmus,
Kelly,
Jose Bautista.
Kelly Kapowski.
Maybe she can email us. Great, let me ask you something.
Well, Kelly Johnson's got to be mad they traded Zach Stewart like a year or two ago.
I wonder if Bobby Cox goes to many Blue Jay games with Unell and Kelly Johnson.
his most despised middle infield ever.
Yeah, he comes. Actually, he was there last week with Tony La Russa, who was checking out Colby Rasmus.
Matt Matheny has an earplug in, right? And he's got La Russa on. Like something. He's got him in his ear, doesn't he?
Hey, Gray, I know you like things that are overhyped. So
I can't imagine. I just read that Buzz Bissinger book, which was good, by the way. Shout out to Royce, who gave it to me, the commenter. But anyway, the La Russa was so... I mean, he would go 8 months and only think and eat and sleep baseball. There's no way he left the game completely, is it? I mean, it doesn't seem possible. It's neither funny nor interesting. We can move on.
Talk amongst yourselves.
yeah, sleep on that. All right, yeah, go ahead. Your question, Nick?
Okay, my question is, will Middlebrooks continues to rake? And, I mean, you don't put a guy like Euculus up on the trade block and deal with that unless you really believe in Middlebrooks. He's also hitting phenomenally. He's batting 326, 9 homers. Is he the rare Red Sox prospect that was actually underhyped coming through the season, through their system? Is this legit?
Since Sam Horn, have any of their prospects really been hyped? I don't remember I don't remember a lot of talk about Pedroia when they trade away Hanley. I don't know.
Yeah, but they look through. Well, they got a lot back for Hanley, but they kind of, and he had terrible minor league numbers. But, you know, you kind of get, they look at their prospects through, you know, Red Sox colored glasses. Same thing with the Yankees, big market clubs. The prospects aren't as good as the hype suggests usually.
Maybe I'm not tapped into the Red Sox prospect hype.
You're so West Coast now, man. You're just.
Yeah, dude, hang 10. What? Yeah, like totally. Yeah, no, Middlebrooks looks, he looked fine in the minor leagues even. He looks like he has about 20 homer power and solid, maybe not a 330 average guy, but solid average to 80 to 90. And he's in a great lineup for counting stats. So, yeah, I'd buy into Middlebrooks as my, you know, deeper league third baseman, corner man for sure. I don't think he's a lot more passive than his brother Donnie Brooks.
Rudy, what about you? What do you think about Middlebrooks?
Yeah, he's been great, and I'm still kicking myself not picking him up when he was in AAA in some AL only leagues. But I'm not. I mean, I think he'll be good. I'm not as bullish. I mean, I think when I think of the overhyped in Boston, I felt like Youkilis, from a fantasy perspective, was always overdrafted.
Right.
Because he had that, he seemed to have a halo that he hit 30 homers 1 year, thus he was a 30 homer hitter. He had a good eye once, and thus he still had a good eye, even though his on base kind of decreased over the years. I think Middlebrooks might fall under that. He hasn't shown good. He doesn't take walks. He does K a lot. For now, he's been hitting line drives, which I think has helped with his average. But, I mean, if I said, you know, next year he's going to be a 280, 25 homer hitter, does that really make you excited?
Right.
Maybe.
People will get excited about that because of the youth and the, you know, possibility for more. So, he'll get overdrafted next year.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that is definitely a hype. The hype of like an Andrew Bailey or a Carl Crawford with the Red Sox, their players get hyped up that are in the majors. I don't know if their prospects really do.
Yeah. No, I felt like Lester and Ellsbury. I mean, they both seemed to surprise. They both surprised me how well they did in the pros.
All right. So maybe I've got an American League East bias.
I think it's fair to say that you'll sometimes have Yankee and Red Sox hitters get overdrafted in leagues.
Okay, a couple more guys I want to touch on real quick. Matt Latos.
No! Don't touch on him.
Don't jinx it.
No, don't touch on him.
All right,
get his head.
Okay, let's move on.
You're bothering me now. No, you can touch on him. I'm just playing.
No.
Rudy might have something to say. I wrote him off. I'm done.
We're done.
Oh, he had that great. Oh yeah, because you dropped him before his like complete game 12 strikeout.
13. Yeah.
13 strikeouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Latos has been disappointed. He was one that really had high hopes for coming into the season. That he was just a good pitcher that it didn't really matter. That he was the type that it didn't seem to matter. It was San Diego or not. I'm kind of seeing some Greinke in him, you know, that when things go bad, they go really bad, that he makes mistakes, you know, up and over the middle of the plate, and they go for home runs because he's in Cincinnati. I did see a stat on him. I think I was watching the telecast where they're saying you'd think he'd be doing awfully because he's giving up a ton of homers in Cincinnati because he's adjusting because he pits in San Diego.
Right.
And evidently his road ERA is much worse than his home ERA.
Interesting.
So again, I think Latos is like Greinke part two.
Okay, that's a good analogy. Last guy I want to touch on, then we'll just quickly talk some bullpen stuff. Mike Moustakas is proving that last September wasn't just feasting on minor league pitchers called up. He's having a great year. Where does he get drafted next year, Gray?
Around where Ryan Zimmerman, maybe? I will now jump out my window and get hit by a bus. Yeah, I think he's probably right now, if he gets to, I don't know, let's say 24 homers, good average, and 10 steals. I'd say he's probably around the fourth or fifth rounder in 12 team leagues, probably fourth round.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah 50-ish.
Yeah, next year might be a tough one. Every year, third base seems to change every year. every year. Like, you will have Miggy Cabrera there at third, which will be sweet. You're going to lose, I think, Bautista at third base eligibility.
Yeah.
And
what?
And Zimmerman's pretty much.
It was like down. Next Food Network star pause there.
Yeah. Yes.
Marty pause. Whatever her name is.
I think the fun one will be, you know, who goes first next year, Moustakas or Lowry?
Or Moustakas or Hosmer?
Oh, Lowry, definitely. Over.
Oh, Moustakas ahead of Hosmer right now.
Brett, Lowry. Yeah. No, Lowry.
Lowry.
Lowry, sorry. Sorry, Nick, sorry. Jesus. I think...
Jesus. It's so pronounced bad. Jesus.
He's not having that bad of a year, and he was so far ahead of him already. I think he's moving into the third round, maybe top end to second, maybe.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of extra base hits there.
No, I don't know. He's doing everything except, like, huge power. He's going to end the year of, I don't know, 18 homers and 15
steals. And 15 caught stealings.
Yeah, right? a good average, good counting stats. People are going to go
right. Crazy. He's super hyped.
Yeah. All right. And
fourth, fifth, probably both in the fourth or fifth round.
All right. That's interesting. Okay, so just to wrap up here, guys, because we're running short on time, the Minnesota bullpen situation, Matt Capps goes to the DL. Does that look long-term? Because right now it looks like Perkins and Burton are going to be sharing closer duties, which probably means till one of them runs away with it.
Burton.
Yeah, go with the right-hander.
Okay. And is there any other bullpen issues right now?
I wish Jared Burton would come out with the LeVar Burton glasses from Star Trek The Next Generation. I think that'd be kick-ass.
Oh, that would be kick-ass.
Or just come out with LeVar Burton. That would be interesting. Or be like, hey, me and LeVar are dating.
Hey, I used to be 7 of 9's...
Came out with pancakes.
I had a brief run as 7 of 9's personal assistant. True story. That was the highlight of my life. All right, thanks for coming, tuning in to another Razzball Baseball podcast. We'll be back next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast.